Hi, Sarah.
So what was your first reaction, like as a psychologist, as a mental health professional, when you heard about the loosening of the restrictions in BC?
Honestly, I was relieved. I let out a big sigh of relief. I think the last circuit breaker that happened in March, that came right on the cusp of vaccinations and people starting to feel a little bit hopeful, that was the most distressed I'd seen people in the last 8 weeks. So honestly, to see that nicely laid out specific chart around kind of the dates and times and what we were expected to happen over the next few months, just relief from my end for sure.
And there is something to be said for knowing exactly what we have ahead of us. But I think there might be kind of an assumption, though, that everybody's going to be just jumping for joy when the restrictions are all lifted. But, you know, people do react to situations in so many different ways. And there have been people who've said, you know, like, hey, like I, you know, struggle being around with other people. Or, you know, there have been people for whom this has been a bit of a relief just to not having to interact as much. I mean, what are you going to be looking for when it comes to the varying reactions when it does come to easing restrictions?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think generally there's going to be a large percentage of people that will be relieved and excited and feeling hopeful. I think there's going to be another percentage of people that will kind of be more moderate, cautiously optimistic, trying to manage their expectations, knowing we've kind of been here before where things have loosened up a little bit, but they don't want to get too far ahead of themselves. And then I also think there's going to be a percentage where this is going to create a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. And you know what? COVID has given us psychologists lots of different terms and terminology. And another new one is this re-entry anxiety. And I think that's very real. We've gotten permission and comfortable in being home for the last year and a half. So there is a percentage of the population that's going to require time for adjustment to get back to the swing of things.
And let's talk about that. I mean, talk about like re-entry. I think a lot of people have been affected in that they have been working from home. I've caught you. You're working from home today. You know, many of my colleagues, I'll go for weeks, months without seeing them, and then they'll come in the office and I'll be like, ah, Brady. You know, like these, you know, people that you haven't seen in so long. And office dynamics in particular are so interesting. I mean, there's a reason the show The Office is so popular. I mean, what are you thinking in terms of, you know, colleagues interacting who maybe haven't seen each other in a long, long time and adjusting to A, you're interacting with their colleagues at work, but also, you know, not be working from home and all the things that came with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Can you imagine seeing Dwight Schrute after a year of a pandemic? I mean, that would be something, right? So I think I'm going to be kind of watching for how the dynamics have changed. Like, who have you stayed connected with if you've been working from home? Have there been new alliances formed? Have you really lost contact with some of your colleagues over the last year and a half? I think that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm not super worried about it, but I think it's just kind of going to be an observation to see how it goes. I think the thing that I'm most concerned about and will be watching most closely is how workplaces respond. So people were working from home, some people were working in the office, and what the research tells us is it's not really one or the other, but the flexibility of having to do that. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how our offices adjust to that. Will they keep some of that flexibility, or will they go back to the way it was?
And what do you think they should do?
Oh, well, the research is clear that flexibility leads to higher morale, you know, greater retention in the workplace, all of those things. I know that there are some, you know, office spaces and things that can't allow for that in the same way. But even if people have a little bit of flexibility, whether they have kids or whether they have other responsibilities outside of their home, outside of their office, I think that having even a little bit of flexibility will go a long way to help office morale.
I have to ask you about hugging. There's been lots of conversations. You know, so many people are saying, I'm just going to hug every person I see on the street. And other people are like, oh, I've loved not having to hug people. Yeah. What's your advice do you have on the hugging front?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that probably not a surprising answer for me, but I think that just being open and clear and asking people, right? Like I think that some people might be a little bit hesitant to ask somebody if they can hug them, but I would be more concerned about hugging someone who doesn't want to be hugged, right? So I think that if you're open and honest with kind of, you know, you see somebody for the first time in a while and you have a reasonable kind of understanding of protocols and what's allowed and what's not, and you just ask, are you comfortable with that? I know that once I'm able to make it back east with the permission of my family, I'll be hugging them for months, right? So I think that is just based on what everybody's comfortable with and just chatting with people, just asking.
And there's also something to be said, like we've gotten really good at the fist bump. Like we've gotten really good at, like, you know what I mean? Like before it was awkward. Oh, let's just touch elbows or something. I'll never forget. We had a Canada Reads event and Cory Doctorow was one of the authors who was here. It was very beginning of the pandemic. Nothing was closed down yet. He could still travel and people were lined up for autographs and he was doing an elbow bump with people. And I'm like, well, that's a little weird because it was brand new. And now if somebody wants to elbow bump, I'm like, yeah, like, you know, we've kind of changed our physical interactions with people, haven't we?
We certainly have. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. Like, I don't think it's going to be all or none. I don't think we're always going to continue to elbow bump, but I think that you'll see more of that, right? Like, I think the needle will kind of shift back into a moderate range as the restrictions allow. But it'll be interesting to see how that develops over time.
And once we do come out on the other end of this, what kind of lessons in mental health do you think that we'll take from this in the months and years down the road?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good point about months and years, right? So from a mental health perspective, let's say in September, the mask mandates lift and, you know, we kind of get back to some sort of normalcy. The mental health implications are going to, you know, extend far beyond that, right? And so as practitioners and scientists, we're going to be studying that for the next few years. And we can look back at previous pandemics and previous natural disasters. And that's kind of what we've done. We've studied it in the months and years past and learned lessons. So that's an important thing to remember. But then just looking back at, you know, what are some of the positives we can take from it? Growth, resilience. We've all had to slow down a bit. Some people have really, you know, kind of embraced the benefits of doing that. There's increased appreciation for family and friends. People have changed their priorities. There's new ways to connect with people that we haven't really discovered or had a need for until now. So I think that those things are going to be analyzed in years and months to come, and hopefully we can learn from those and embrace some of those positives as we go forward.
Kathy, I always really value our time together. Thank you so much for the conversation and for your insight.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.